And it's kind of an addendum to what I preached on Sunday morning. Psalm number 21. When you find that place, why, you stand with me while we'll read the Word of God together. Psalm chapter number 21. And we'll read the entire psalm for our scripture reading tonight. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Now, that's reading the entire 21st Psalm, all 13 verses of it. And as we pray tonight, I want to ask the church to remember to pray for the family of Ralph Ray. I don't know how many, I'm sure many of you in here know Brother Ray, but he went home to be with the Lord last night, 55 years old, and his memorial service will be Thursday at Silent Run Baptist Church. They'll view him tomorrow after 5 o'clock at Harris Funeral Home, okay? And so I ask you to pray for that family tonight, and then pray for the preaching of God's Word. Let's look to Him. Our Father, I thank Thee tonight, Lord, for the privilege that we have again to preach Your Word. And, Lord, I know that every time this word is preached, it's Your desire that it be preached under the unction and anointing power of the Holy Ghost. And so I pray, Lord, for that fresh baptism of power and that liberty tonight to say everything that needs to be said. I want to try to encourage the people of God. And I pray that You'll save every sinner listening. And, Lord, that You'll revive every saint. Bless every heart, help every home, get glory and honor unto Thee. Bless the preacher tonight. I need Your help, and that only You can give. Granted, I pray for the honor and the glory of God, and You said that Your word would not return unto You void. Help it, I pray, to accomplish everything that You'd intend for it to, and we'll thank You and praise You. May it not fall on deaf ears. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, you can be seated. Let's look at verse number 3 tonight, church, for our golden text in the Bible, where David said here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness, thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. Now, I preached out of this psalm on Sunday morning in Sunday school, and I used this the thought that I'm going to preach from tonight. And I want to take the thought out of verse number 3 there and preach on prevented blessings. Prevented blessings. Now, you ladies, for your benefit, let me just back up and kind of give you a little introduction into the psalm. Psalm number 21 deals with the King, our Lord Jesus, or Psalm 20, deals with our King, the Lord Jesus, as He departs from His throne and goes out to do battle with the enemy. And of course, the enemy there being sin and Satan and the sepulcher, or the grave, that He's going out to do battle against. And Psalm number 21, we find that same King, having been gone out to battle, He is returning home from the battle, and He's coming back with glorious liberty. And so Psalm 21 deals with the royalty of the King, and then the benefits of those that are in His royal line. I want to say on authority of the Word of God tonight that I am of the royal line. I've been saved by the grace of God, and I'm a child of the King. I'm not a beggar nor a pauper in spiritual matters. I'm a child of Almighty God, and I'm entitled to all the rights and the benefits of being God's eternal child. And one of those benefits and blessings we find in verse number 3. Now, don't leave me. I want to make a point here that I really believe is one of the most marvelous, most glorious statements in all the Bible. I believe it is one of the grandest thoughts that a child of God can entertain in their heart and mind. I'm telling you, if you'll sit down and meditate on it, it will erase all doubts from your mind. It will take away all the fears from your heart. And you can live this life regardless of what may develop out yonder in the future with great assurance in your soul that Jesus is yours, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. You're God's child, and that Romans 8:28 is in the Bible, and everything that that crosses your pathway of life is there for your good and the glory of God, and He's there working it out that He might bless you with all blessings in spiritual places in Christ Jesus. I'm glad that He's blessed us, not with one, not with two. Now, my Armenian buddy, he's had two blessings, but thank God, I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, notice the statement there in verse 3, where David said, "For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness." Notice that word, preventest. That is the same word, church, that Paul uses in the book of Thessalonians in chapter number 4. When he's speaking about the rapture of the church, he's talking about how the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and so forth. But in verse number 15 of that chapter, Paul says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Paul says there that we that are alive, and I believe I'm going to be alive. Amen. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a door in the sky. And I don't believe, no sir, I believe I'm going to be in the rapture generation. Amen. I believe one of them that's called up from this world without ever tasting physical death. Somebody said, "What are you going to do if you die? You fool, I'm going to heaven and enjoy it until the rapture does take place." Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's what I'm going to do. But I believe I'm going out of this world alive. Amen. Called up to meet Him. But that word there, prevent, simply means that we that are alive will not go before those that are in the grave. That is, when the rapture takes place, we'll not go up and then them come up. We'll not prevent them. We'll not go before them. And so the word there in Psalm 321 simply means that God has gone before us. He has prevented us. He's gone before us with the blessings of goodness. Aren't you glad to know that when God saved you, friend, He did not save you and turn you loose to yourself, but I'm glad that He had a life planned out for us, a course planned out for us. Amen. He already anticipated our desires, our needs, our wants, our trials, our hardships, our blessings. He had it all figured out before we ever came along. Hallelujah to God. And went along in front of us with handfuls of purpose, blessing us along the way. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Now, let me say this. David is saying that the Lord has preceded him with handfuls of purpose, providing those benefits and blessings in advance with an anticipation of David's arrival. What David's saying there is this, that God went along in front of me just like Boaz went in front of Ruth and dropped some handfuls of blessing along the way, that when Ruth arrived, the blessing was already there awaiting on her. I'm telling you, friend, that God has prevented us with the blessings of this life. He's gone on before us, and the blessings that we enjoy are there simply waiting on our arrival to be blessed by what God has already done. Now, I'm afraid we might have some Armenians in here. I don't know whether y'all believe that or not. Huh? I'm not so sure y'all mean that or believe that. Bless God, I believe it. Do you think it took God by surprise a few months ago when the church blessed Mrs. Hall and I with this old piece of knotty heel back out here behind the church? 1981 on a Wednesday night when the Holy Ghost separated me to preach the gospel. Amen. And sent me on my merry way into a land that He had shown me. He already had the blessing mapped out waiting on me. Oh, yes. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you sound like a Calvinist. No, I just believe the Bible, friend. My Bible text tells me that thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. And that term, blessings of goodness, means all the embodied and expressed love of God. In other words, all of the love that God had precedes me along the way and is there waiting on me when I rise. Hallelujah to God. Amen. He didn't just decide to love me one day. Amen. No, sir. Do you think that accident took God by surprise? You think when Jason wound upside down there along by that swamp down on, what is it, 70? Do you think that God scratched His head and said, well, what about that? I'd have never dreamed that had happened. Oh, no. Years ago, God made him put seatbelts in automobiles. Woo! Hallelujah to God. That's right. And the seatbelt kept old Jason's brain in contact. Amen. God prevented him with that blessing along the way, you see. Now, I want to mention some things. I can see y'all's about half dead tonight. I feel saved and y'all's about half dead. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. And I believe God will if you'll listen. I believe He will if you'll listen. Now, somebody said, what kind of blessings has God prevented us with? May I say to you on the authority of the Word of God that God has prevented you with the blessing of the sacrifice. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, Brother Hall, that's all you preachers on them S's. Why don't you outline with something besides S's? Because them S's is good. They talk about the sacrifice and the Son and salvation, and you can't get any better than salvation. Hallelujah to God. Oh, no, there's no greater thief in all the Bible to preach than the doctrine of salvation. I'm talking about the gospel, and you can't preach the gospel without talking about the Son. So they all just come back to S's all the time. Amen. He preceded me, prevented me, went before me with the blessing of the sacrifice. I want you to follow in your Bibles because I got some scripture. Buddy, we're going to find some scripture in the Word of God tonight. I want you to look in your Bibles to 1 Peter and chapter number 1. 1 Peter and chapter number 1. And look at verse number 18 with me, where old brother Peter says, by the inspiration of God, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Notice this next verse. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. Now that's wonderful. If I stopped right there, Brother Ricky, that'd be wonderful to know that the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish, was foreordained in the mind of God, that it should be by His blood that we'd be redeemed by, not by silver and gold, but by the blood of the Lamb. But I tell you, there's a word there that absolutely staggers my mind. He said it was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I don't know when God set the foundation of the world, friend, but it was a long time before the world was ever brought into existence, and God done had the sacrifice planned a long time before the foundation of this world was ever set. Isn't it a blessing to know that God presented us with the sacrifice that would redeem our soul?
Here's a thought.
Here's a thought that I wrote down. And I may preach on this a tad bit here along this line if y'all help me. If you don't, I'll give you the outline and we'll go home. Here's what I wrote down. I said, when I came to the altar, the fire was already burning with the sacrifice thereon. I'm glad when I came to the altar that I did not have to bring my sacrifice. I'm glad I didn't have to wait there for the sacrifice. But old brother Moses said in his writing about that burnt offering, that burnt sacrifice in Leviticus 6:13, he said, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. I'm glad, thank God, when I got there, just that the sacrifice had already prevented me, that blessing had already went before me, and when I came to that old altar as a repentant sinner on my way to hell, dying without God and without hope, I didn't have to wonder and wait about the sacrifice. Thank God I found the sacrifice on the altar with the fire under the altar, and she was already a burning when I got there. Amen. Amen. What a sacrifice it was. Oh, yes. What a sacrifice it was. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what time was it? I'm glad you asked. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad it was a perfect sacrifice. A tested sacrifice. Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. A sweet-smelling sacrifice. See, that sacrifice was made with fine fire. It was offered by fire. It was offered with frankincense. It didn't have any leaven. No sin about it. Amen. I'm so glad. That's right. Yeah. Amen. That's right. Thank God there's a perfect sacrifice waiting on the altar when I got there. I'm going to tell you why a lot of people don't know whether they've been saved or not. They've never eat the sacrifice. Jesus told that crowd in His day, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be my disciples. That sacrifice, friend, that sacrifice was there for the priest to partake of. They ate of it. Amen. Are you hearing me? They ate of it. They ate of it. The problem today, folks have never tasted of the Lamb. But, amen. Did the Scripture say, taste of the Lord and see that He's good? I'm glad, thank God, that I put the sacrifice to my lips and tasted of God, and I know that He's good, and He was now waiting on me when I got there. Amen. Amen. And so He prevented us the blessing of the sacrifice. Now I'm going to throw in right there. I'm going to throw in right there this. And y'all ain't going to fall out with me on this, are you? You can't have a sacrifice, our sacrifice, without the Son. You can't have the sacrifice without salvation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that God prevented me not only with the blessing of the sacrifice, but with the blessing of the Son and with the blessing of salvation. They is already there waiting on me, church. That's right. I didn't have to stand in line. I didn't have to sit down. You know, I spent 4 years, 1 month, and 5 days in the military, and it was always hurry up and wait. March you 25 miles to get somewhere, and fellas, we got to be there at 9 o'clock, and you get there at 2 minutes to 9 and sit there and wait until 2 minutes to 2 in the afternoon before you do anything else. Because so-and-so that, you know, hadn't made it there yet. But I'm glad, thank God, on September the 13th, 1970, when I bowed at the altar, I didn't have to bow in wonderment and amazement and worry whether the sacrifice had showed up or not. Hallelujah to God. He is already there, presented me in the blessing, sitting there waiting on me. Now, look here. If the sacrifice was there, that means the Son was there and that salvation was there. Amen. But look here. In the life of Abraham, I just read this today, and God told me to put it in the thought, so I'm going to put it in the thought. Now, when old Abraham come out of Ur of the Chaldees and begin to follow after God, in Genesis chapter number 15, is where God appeared to him and gave him the promise of Isaac. And old Abraham said, now look here, Lord, said, I don't have a son. Said that Eliezer of Damascus, one brought up in my house, said he's going to be the heir of everything that I've got. And the Lord told Abraham, said no. Said Abraham, hey, and by the way, unless my calculation is wrong, we're talking 14 years before Isaac ever came along, buddy. 14 years. But God spoke to old Abraham and said, hey, one out of your own loins. He said, just look up, Abraham, into the heavens and see if you can number the stars, how many of them are. He said, for that number will be the number of your offspring. They'll be like the number of the sand of the sea. I'm simply saying that God promised the Son, hallelujah to God, before old Abraham, amen, before Isaac was ever born, God promised. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Some of y'all need to get a hold of that, I believe.
Yes,
I believe it'll help you out.
Yes,
now, I'm kind of about to get out of the introduction. I'm going to get down and preach a little bit here in a minute now. Since how y'all don't want to help out on the good part, I'll bust your stinking hides on the rough part. Amen. I sat Sunday talking to Sister Woodard, and she said, me and Miss Holmes, she said, you know, she said, we must have a good church. And I said, well, I believe we have. She said, Brother Hall said, I'm not a kid, and said, when we first started coming down there, said, you'd get up and preach, and said, you'd say, why, you bunch of sorry devils. And I'd say, we'd leave her, and I'd say, George, did you hear what he called everybody? He called everybody in the church a bunch of devils. He said, you know, but she said, you know, said, why, we can sit and listen to him call us devils now and like it. Amen. I said, that's right, ain't that right? You bunch of devils better smile, bless your heart. We get down to preaching something different here in a minute. Amen. That brought a smile. Now look here. Not only did he prevent us with the blessing of sacrifice, but church, he prevented us with the blessing of succession. You say, Brother Hall, what do you mean succession? I'm talking about our inheritance. See, an inheritance is something that comes in succession. It's passed down the line. Now, I was reading in that same text about Abraham and about the son in chapter 15 of Genesis. And the Bible said there in verse 6, that Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And notice what God said to him. And the Lord said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Now look here. What I'm saying is that God had Canaan already laid aside and prepared for the nation of Israel before God ever called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. That inheritance was prepared and laid down for that nation. Now somebody said, Brother Hall, where does that leave us? I'm glad you asked. Something, look here. Oh, I don't want to blow y'all's mind completely out of the saddle. Amen. But it didn't shock God the day I got saved. Look here, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. Some of the dearest friends that I've got, and I count some of them friends, some of the dearest friends, and I believe they're Christian friends and brethren, but they are the Armenian persuasion. Okay, and they probably listening tonight, and I want them to know that I love them when I say this. But I'm telling you what. Let me just read it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. There it is. He's begotten us again unto a lively hope to an inheritance. Somebody look right up here at me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Do you think He had any problem determining how many mansions to build? Do you think he had to scratch that, sit down and scratch his head when he started preparing the table for the marriage supper of the Lamb? We play that old song, "Spread at another place at the table." That's a bunch of junk. He ain't setting no another place at the table, church. You think God's dumb or something? No, sir. He has already prevented us with the blessing of our inheritance. Honey, He prepared it. It's up there waiting on me and you to move in. Hallelujah to God. Now listen what He said there in the book of Peter. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. Notice that next word. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. Reserved in heaven for you. Now is everybody listening to me? All right, Father. There's old Hall's inheritance. I built him. Oh, wait a minute, Father. He just lost it. I'll have to set that back. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. He got her again. Oh, doggone it. He lost it again. I set it back one more time. Well, wait a minute. He done got saved again. Oh, no. Hallelujah. God is right. Son, I'm telling you from the first. Yes, sir. Buddy, He's prepared my inheritance, got my mansion reserved, ready to move in. It's there waiting. I'm not playing dominoes or checkers. Worrying about it, brother. It'll be there when I get there. It'll be there when I arrive. Do you believe that? Son, I'd hate to think I didn't believe that. Now look here. I'm talking about prevented us with the blessings of goodness. Went before us. Got them prepared. How else could all things work together for good to them that love the Lord? Huh? How else could it? Somebody said, oh, you talking about being predestined to salvation. No, I'm not. I'm talking about the foreknowledge of God. I had to get saved. I was a lost goose. Somebody said, could you have went to hell? Absolutely. If I hadn't got saved, I'd have died and went to hell. Now, are y'all in 1 Peter? Because I want you to see this. He said, inheritance that fadeth not away, reserved. How many of y'all in here ever made motel reservations? When you got there, was they waiting on you? What would you have done if they hadn't have been? Huh? What would you have said? Somebody done lied to me. Somebody done me wrong. I want my deposit back. You know what my deposit is?
Yes.
The Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I am sealed.
Yes.
Until the day of redemption.
Yes.
He is the earnest of my redemption. Bless your heart. Praise God. Amen. He is my reservation to my inheritance. Somebody said, you can lose it. Hogwash. It's reserved, friend.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Now, I've got news for you. It's not only reserved. Buddy, we need to read on down in this. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Ready. It's not only reserved. It's ready. Oh, yeah. He's not up there. He's not up there building, putting brick on top of one another. Well, now, Father, well, I'm going to build halls. You better hold off. He might not endure. Are y'all catching anything I'm saying? Oh, thou preventest me. With the blessings of goodness. All of the embodied and expressed love of God already went before me. Oh, I'm just a poor sinner saved by grace. I'm just a recipient of what God's already secured in my name. He said it's ready. Are y'all reading? It's reserved and it's ready. Are y'all reading your Bibles? Is Brother Hall not? Am I in the book? He said it's ready to be revealed. That must mean it's ready. It's finished.
Amen.
Oh, no, he's not setting another place at the table. Man, it's done there. Table spread. Got my plate reserved. Oh, yeah. I heard him say the other day that, I read in the paper the other day where a rich gal, a real rich gal, got ready to get married. And, boy, this ain't no omen for nobody or nothing. But she said, had an article in the paper and said, she got there and had 600 guests. And said they all got there and said, here come the best man. Walking down the aisle and said he walked up to her and said, you know them honeymoon tickets you and him had to go on that big honeymoon of yours? And she said, yeah. And he said, well, got bad news for you. Said, he's done took them and he's off down there in that vacation spot with somebody else. In other words, he's jilted you. You know what that gal done? Hey, she had a table spread at I think something like $1,500 a plate that it cost her $75,000 or $80,000 just to feed that crowd of people that came. Hey, amen. You know what she said? She said, I wasn't going to disappoint the guests that I'd invited. Said every one of them had a plate sitting at the table with all the best trimmings on it. Somebody said, where are you coming from, Brother Hall? I'm saying, hallelujah to God. Some have already got a table. I've been invited. I've received the invitation. I've accepted it. And that plate is already at the table. Hallelujah to God. That's right.
Amen.
Now, this next R in the line is something all y'all need to do. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice. There it is. Reserved, ready, revealed, and rejoicing. You know, how could you rejoice? And they can't. You can't rejoice. You can't rejoice if you just hope you're going to make it. Sir, are you going to heaven? Boy, I'm a-trying to get there. I sure hope so. How can you rejoice over something like that? Now, that's Baptist. And by the way, for the record, I was sitting there meditating on what I was going to preach tonight. For the record, let me set this straight. I want to set this straight. I believe Arminians are here, and Calvinists are here, and I'm a Baptist walking right in the middle where I ought to be. Hey, man, ain't that right? Now, somebody tell me, what was I preaching? Man, I need some help. Huh? What was I? Huh?
Rejoicing.
Yeah, rejoicing. What was we rejoicing over, though? I'm rejoicing about something, boy. When you get my Oh. I'm too loose to worry about it. I ain't worried about it. Hey, there's a Baptist term that we use for people that don't believe in eternal salvation.
Right.
They have a slavic salvation. That is, they dependent on something they have to do to maintain their right to sit down at the king's table. Honey, that keeps a man working. And if it keeps you working, it's a work salvation. And if it's a work salvation, it's no salvation. I'm glad, thank God, that I'm kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last time. And I'm not a working to get there. I am a resting. Are you hearing? That's the difference between work and rest. I'm resting in what He's already done. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, amen. Well, we'll lighten up a little bit. Now, not only has He prevented us, they just got 5 points. Three of them's the primary ones. The other two will be a little weak. We're on the third one right now. Not only has He prevented us with the blessing of the sacrifice and the blessing of succession, but He's preceded us with the blessing of sanctification. Now, this ought to perk your ears up a little bit. Son, I'm telling you what. Somebody said, there he goes, going to preach on holiness again. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, sir. You know what folks say about us Baptists? Oh, you Baptists believe more saved, always say you can just live like a devil and sin and live in no. But old Brother Hall don't believe that.
Yeah,
huh? Right. I'm going to tell you, get out here hobnobbing in sin and living in sin. You know what I say about you? You need to get born again.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 And by the way, sanctification is a blessing.
Yes.
Holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord.
Yes.
Be ye holy, for I am holy.
Yes.
Say the Lord. And I'm getting ready to show you something. It may take me all night to preach this point. Because God showed me something today. Hey, I ain't never seen in all my Bible studies about the doctrine of sanctification. I'm talking about holy. Somebody said, well, where do you prove it precedes us? Ephesians 5, turn in your Bibles. Let's ruffle them pages. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, and verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Let me ask you something. When did He give Himself for it? Is He waiting to do it? Has He already given Himself for the church? If He has already given Himself, then that means the blessing of that gift has already prevented us. It's before us. Is that right or wrong? All
right.
Why did He prevent us? Verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. That's why He loved it and gave Himself for it. That He might sanctify it. Hey, and look here, there's two words there, joined with an and, which is a conjunction, meaning they're both of equal structure, the word sanctify and cleanse. Is that right, Miss Ruth? You're a school teacher.
Amen.
Don't y'all get quiet now.
Amen.
Huh? Sanctify and cleanse it. Hey, you know what that word sanctify means? Oh, consecrate, holy, yes, all that. But do you know what else it means? It means to make venerable. Or to venerate. And that big word venerate simply means to make something reverent or honorable. In other words, hey, Paul is saying that He gave Himself for us already, prevented us with that blessing, that He might take something that is abiding in dishonor and make it a vessel of honor for the glory of God. Oh, yes. Something to be honored. Something to be made reverent. Something of respect. Oh, hallelujah to God. What a blessing. What a blessing. If you can just get a hold of if I can just get the thought out of my little old heart, Brother Jerry, that you're running through there. Do you remember that old life you lived? How dishonorable you were. Disgrace, I mean, hey, to everybody. Disgrace to your mom and daddy. Disgrace to your wife. Disgrace to your community. I mean, you just lived in dishonor. Had to get up every Sunday morning and cover your face because you was ashamed of what you done on Saturday night. Couldn't look yourself in the face in the mirror. Amen. Couldn't look your wife in the face. Couldn't look mom and dad in the face. Couldn't look grandpa and grandma in the face. And you remember what I'm saying? I don't like to tell junk like this, but I'm going to tell it. years ago. I'll never forget it. I'd been out partying one night, though, just a bunch of junk, you know, how you get. And I'll never forget, I woke up in the morning sitting in an old junky car alongside the road. And Brenda's mom and her mother and her daddy came, was sitting there in the car. And I remember her grandpa looked over at me and he said, "Gary," he said, "I wish you'd quit that old stuff." Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I dropped my head, buddy. I felt lower than a whale in the bottom of the ocean, son. I mean, I felt just about that big. Couldn't look anybody in the face. Are y'all what I'm saying? He gave himself, son, on Calvary before Gary Hall was ever thought of in the mind of Truman Hall. He prevented me with a blessing of sanctification that he might take a vessel of dishonor, ungodly, wicked, deserving of hell, and make somebody honorable and of reputation out of me. Hallelujah to God. What a blessing. But then that word to cleanse, I can't spend too long there. I've got a lot of points here to make. That word cleanse simply means to purify it, to make it clean. So he made you he prevented you with the blessing of sanctification, that he might make you a clean vessel of reputation and honor and not something of disgrace and disaster. And look here. Somebody said, "How much of me does God really want to sanctify?" I'm glad you asked. All of you. Now, I want everybody to follow me in this. I want you to find. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Boy, I thank God we got Bible we can preach from. Amen. I'm not preaching some cunningly devised fable. Nope, I'm preaching the Word of God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And look at verse number 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Every bit of you. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, you just used that verse a few weeks ago to preach the same thing." Oh, but God showed me something else. He said, "And I pray that God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Man's a triune person, body, soul, and spirit. Paul said, "I want all three parts to be sanctified, pure, venerable before God when he gets here." But you know what really caught my attention there? I've already mentioned that little three-letter word one time. Does anybody see a little three-lettered word there that sends a signal? Huh? I see a little "and." That verse starts with an "and." Church, that is a conjunction. And that conjunction means that all the verses that precede this verse all the way back to the next "and" are used in conjunction with this verse of Scripture.
Amen.
Now look here. You know what God's telling me here? He's telling, and the other "and," by the way, is in verse 13. "And to esteem them very highly." But then he starts in verse number 14 now. That, hey, look up here. I'm going to tell you how to be sanctified holy.
Amen.
It's in the Bible. Body, soul, and spirit. Somebody said, it may take us all night to get through here. Amen. Now we exhort you, brethren, verse 14. You got to go all the way back to there and start. Do you want to be holy?
Yes.
I don't think some of you do.
Amen.
You just sit there like a calf in a new gate.
Yeah.
Somebody said, "I want my spirit to be holy, but I'm not so sure about my body."
Come on.
After all, nobody can't see my spirit and soul, but they can my body.
Right. Come on, bro.
You want them all to be holy?
Yeah,
bro. Huh? Oh, it's one thing to brag about how holy we are on the outside.
Yes.
But this crowd, that ain't got nothing on the outside, might as well just keep their mouth shut to me.
Amen.
Bullfighting britches.
Right.
Talked to old brother Rick Whitlow last night, wished him a Merry Christmas. He said, "Man," said, "I had a terrible time." Said, "We done voted for the fourth time to kick some guy out of this church. And it took four times to get him out. He said, and I've been fighting the family all the way through it to get him out. I said, well, what was wrong with the guy? He said, him and his daddy both committed adultery with a woman that's still in the church house. And said she has repented and got saved since and showed signs of repentance. The church has received her in and said they voted to vote this young man out before I ever came here because he wouldn't repent and got right. I said, tell me something about the boy. Said he's got two earrings in his ear. Said he's got hair down over his shirt. Said he's a skirt chasing and running after every young girl in the house of God. And I said, hey, and I guess that family that's mad at you believes that boy's saved. Oh, they believe he's saved. I'm telling you, not a ghost of a chance.
Amen.
Are y'all listening?
Right.
Now then, I don't have much time, so I better get on this. We'll be here till midnight. This is Christmas Eve. He said, now we exhort you, brethren. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. There's a good starter for being holy, sanctified. I'm not going to preach that. Then verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. But here's where we're going to start.
Yeah.
You come to church with mush in your mouth.
Amen.
You can't sing, you can't praise God, you can't worship God. Oh, somebody said, Brother Holly, rejoice evermore. Is it in there or not?
Yes.
Oh, Brother Hall, but you don't really have to be. No, you don't have to be. You can go on being the same old humdrum Christian that you've always been. But if you're looking for perfect sanctification, then rejoice evermore.
Yes.
By the way, and I'm not being a smart aleck, I was reading a man's book the other night on perfect sanctification. And here's what he said. He said, I believe it's possible, not probable, but possible, that a man and woman in this life can become so holy and so sinless that they give birth to a sinless offspring. I said, that's baloney. You better believe it is. That man's sin doesn't depend on his parents. It depends on old Adam, buddy. You can't get around that. I won't charge you nothing for that. That's free. Hey, you want to be sanctified holy? Pray without ceasing.
Amen.
That Psalm 1 talks about meditating in the Word of God day and night. Oh, somebody said that'd be hard to do. Yeah, it'd be hard to do. But if we ever want to get there, that's what it's going to take. Praying without ceasing. Most of us can't pray without ceasing because we're always filled up with so much foolishness. Somebody said, Brother Hall thought you was going to preach on preventing us. He has. He's prevented us with the blessing of sanctification. We can have it if we want it. Amen. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me ask you something. What have you thanked Him for today?
Amen.
Huh? What have you thanked Him for today? I'd hate to take a survey.
Amen.
Somebody said, Brother Hall, that's not work of sanctification. I believe we're going to find out that it is.
Amen.
Quench not the Spirit.
Amen.
Despise not prophesying. Don't get upset at preaching.
Amen.
Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And here it is. After you've done all these things, and the very God of peace didn't say He might sanctify you, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. If you've done all these things, y'all done died on me. Sanctify you wholly. And He said, now I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So there's the blessing of sanctification. Then I want to say that God prevented us with a blessing of suffering.
Yes.
I couldn't help but to read Brother A.J. McClure's prayer letter today again. Because I knew I was going to preach this tonight. I stood out there and read it again. And he's got, what is that stuff that's in a thermometer?
Mercury.
He's got mercury poison in his body. That's what's made him so sick all these months and years, that he's been struggling with his health. And I read that letter over again, and I marveled, because he glorified God in the suffering that he was going through. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, has he prevented us with that?" I don't have time to turn there, but in that, because y'all done got dead. You was dead before we ever started tonight. But I'm not going to turn back there. But in chapter 15 of Genesis, remember when I was reading about Abraham, and God was telling Abraham about the blessing of Isaac and his inheritance that he was to receive. And he also talked there. He said, I believe in verse number 15 of that chapter, he said, "But your people, the children of your children, said they must be carried down into Egypt and evilly entreated down there and afflicted. They'll be strangers in a land that they know nothing about." Hey, church! That's God's holy youngins today! We are strangers, buddy. Don't think it's something strange if you're not treated with great dignity and honor in this life, in this world. In fact, if you're being treated with all the respect this world is, I doubt very seriously that you got a testimony of the grace of God. I've said this so many times, I'll say it again. There's a spot in that stinking liquor issue. Had a man in this church, was a deacon of this church, said, "Don't make the mayor mad. Don't make the mayor mad." Then I'll tell you, I'd make him more mad. Hallelujah. Hey, he said, "He'll make it rough on us." Well, I thought, I didn't know it's going to be easy. Peter said in 1 Peter that Christ Jesus has suffered, leaving us an example that we ought to follow in His footsteps. Woo! Follow what I'm getting ready to tell you. And I never realized the answer for it until I taught Sunday school Sunday morning. You know what it says in Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2? I hope you do. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy," there it is, "the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Everybody look right up here at me. Do you think that he suffered on the cross?
Yes, sir.
But what awaited him out yonder? Huh? J-O-Y. Joy. This is not an original with me. And if you are suffering a malady like Tammy, or like old brother McClure, or if you're suffering from a physical or an emotional affliction, if you're suffering persecution at the hands of somebody, is everybody looking? Hey, it's there by sovereign design. God Almighty prevented you with that blessing of suffering that you might experience the blessing of suffering. Oh, somebody said, and what is that blessing of suffering? J-O-Y. Joy. Everybody look right up here. You know why there's no joy today in our churches? I'm going to tell you why. There's no suffering in Christ. There's no joy. Now get a hold of this. I believe what Spurgeon said this. It's out of his book. It's not original with me. But I believe Spurgeon said it. Now I want everybody to listen to this. He said, "The mountain of joy will rise no higher in proportion than the depth of the valley of grief."
Right. Amen.
Oh, we don't want to suffer no grief.
Right.
We don't want any mental anguish. We don't want any physical pain. We don't want any suffering. We don't want anything hard. But we do want joy, God. Give us joy. I'm going to tell you how to have the greatest joy. If he that experiences the greatest grief will have the greatest joy. Hallelujah to God. Some of you dry hides will get a hold of that. It'll help you out a little bit. You'll never learn joy. You'll never know what joy is Do you know how to hurt?
That's right.
Jesus went to the very valley of despondency and despair and grief that he might rise to the very pinnacle of joy.
Yes! Yes.
Is that right, Brother Jerry?
Right.
Hallelujah to God. Y'all look like a calf in a new gate.
Right.
You know what I think? I don't think some of you give a flip.
Yes.
I'm just in for the ride, preacher. After all, I'm saved. You might be saved, but do you want to be a genuine, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost Christian? Or are you satisfied with being what you are all your life? I want to be all I can be for Him. I want to be conformed to His image, buddy. Somebody said, you preach a lot on suffering. Absolutely. There's some bitter herbs right along with it. And I'm going to tell you why we can't have any more joy than we do. Because every time God puts a little trial, we start mumbling, griping, groaning, belly aching, mumbling around, complaining, chewing at the rag.
That's right, preacher. Come on, preacher.
Hey. When will we learn now? If I trip over that thing and fall, I might say, thank God that's over with. The church, everything in life, everything in my Christian life, God prevented me with it. That it might be a blessing to me in my spiritual life. And that includes the sufferings.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
And somebody said, I would to God I knew it was out there. If you knew it, you'd have wanted it to be gone. You'd have prayed for God to get rid of it before you ever got to where it was at.
Yes.
But our old flesh rears up against those kind of things.
Yes.
Tammy Lynn got bad sick a few years ago. Steve carried her off down there. I found myself saying, God, why? Yes. I mean, I don't understand. Man, this is a killing me. Some of the things that's happened in our church and some of the fights and the battles, I found myself in the close of the prayer. God, I don't understand. Why am I going through this? I'm going to tell you why. So I can get up in the choir on Sunday morning and shout.
Yes.
Yeah, so I can come to church and sing.
Yes. Yes.
Knowing it's behind me. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
Something good awaiting out in front of me.
Yes.
And one of these days we'll cross that last milestone.
Yes.
One of these days, church, we'll cross that last mountain and have that last valley behind us. Hallelujah to God. We'll experience the last heartache and the last pain and sorrow and hurt. Hallelujah to God. And then we'll enter into that eternal joy that our fellow leader has already entered into. Hallelujah to God. I'll close with this. He's prevented us with the blessings of supplies.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some of y'all think you're going to wind up naked and destitute.
Go ahead, preacher. Oh, sir.
Paul said, but my God, now if you're a good little boy, he might, you know, supply your...
Yes, sir.
Is that what he said?
Yes, sir.
My God might supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, no. My God shall. Do you believe that? Do you believe God shall supply all of your needs? Then why worry? Why worry about tomorrow? Why worry when things don't turn out right? Woo! Hallelujah to God!
Amen!
I'm not worried about the next meal. I'm not worried about money. I'm not worried about my needs. He's already went before me and provided them all. Hallelujah to God! So Somebody said, do you have text for that? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. When old, when Joseph, in Genesis 50, you know, when his brothers come before him and they was standing there shaking, and Joseph said, don't worry. He said, don't fear. He said, I'm in this place as a God. He said, but as for you, said, all the things that you did, said, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now look here. Everybody look right up here. Do you think that the pit was pleasant for Joseph? Do you think the prison was? Do you think Potiphar's house and being accused that falsely, do you think all that was pleasant for Joseph? No, sir. But God had a plan.
Amen.
God said, Joseph, I'll let you endure all this. Because there's a famine coming up yonder in Canaan one of these days. And said, I'm going to let you go through all of this so that when your brothers, so when that famine comes, that your brothers, that you can save your brothers alive.
Yes.
Guys, you know what Jesus has done, son? You got a fever, boy. You know that? You sick, I believe. Sitting there on that front row might be breaking you out in a rash. Hey, but you know what Jesus done? Jesus is our Joseph.
Amen. Huh?
Look here. And He's done prevented us that through the famine, He's got plenty of corn. Look here. You know where that corn was all at? Yeah. But you know what country it was in?
Yeah, Egypt.
You know what Egypt's a type of?
The world.
Right.
Y'all get that after a while.
That's right.
Yeah, my. Amen.
In other words, folks, there's plenty of corn in the world.
Yes.
Our Joseph, hey, he's laid her back for all the years of famine. Don't you worry about it. Old brother Billy Kelly used to say, if there ain't nothing but a soda cracker in Greenville County, I'm going to be on one end of it a nibbling.
Amen.
He has prevented us with our supplies. He's going to provide all your need according to His riches and glory. Why worry?
Right.
For Thou, Lord, has prevented us with the blessings of goodness.
Yes.
That He has. Let's stand together.